We're
We're
here
here together
together.
in real life.
I can see you. I can touch you, but I will not.
Yeah, I mean, only if we really want
I
to.
mean, right, it's
There's no lag.
like an expression. I could be like, oh my God, Heidi, and like
Yes,
touch your
and
knee.
touch me. Yes. It's and this is a good episode to be together for because it was kind of crazy.
It was insane.
Yeah.
But yes, if you are brand new to Betty Squared, welcome, welcome. I'm Jess.
And I'm Heidi.
We record this every week to coincide with the episode of Riverdale that aired previously on the CW network. But this episode is a kind of special episode, not because of the show itself
Yeah.
being so freaking awesome, but because Heidi and I are in the same
Yes,
place.
it's been a while. They started out with us being together, and then Jess moved away,
I'm sorry.
and then we were separated. And you've probably noticed if you have listened to others the,
We've had
from
some
the
audio issues.
from the audio and quality and things like that, but today we're
But we're
together.
today we're together and the audio quality. My God, it better be better.
Oh, I really hope so.
But yeah, we're back to where it all began. It's nice. It's like 360. We like started here. Started at the bottom, now we're here. No,
Oh no.
no, no. I can't pretend I didn't say that. I'm sorry, this is too much excitement.
Yes.
But
I guess we should talk about the episode,
oh, I was
maybe.
going to talk about the hot chocolate you brought
Oh
me.
sure. Well, because you brought it twice. You brought hot chocolate twice to our little meetings, and I hadn't brought it at all.
Yeah, but you
So
brought
yes, and
milkshakes.
now we're even. Not that
Yeah.
there was any sort of,
No.
I don't know, deal or
I wasn't
whatever, but
keeping count or
I had
anything.
a gift card too, so I was like, I
Oh,
need to
cool.
just use
I
it.
feel better about that now
Yeah.
than that you didn't spend real dollars on me.
No, just fake plastic ones.
So when I was here last, it was the middle of winter, and I am obsessed, and this is not paid advertising, but I'm obsessed with Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate, especially in the winter, especially in New York. Even the fact that these ones that you've brought in today aren't in the polystyrene cups, I'm
Oh.
kind of like, oh, this is weird. This isn't right, Duncan. What are you doing to me?
Yeah, that's true.
But
Interesting.
yeah, we started off the episodes here, and like Heidi brought milkshakes from Melt Shop the first time, and then I brought hot chocolates, and then she brought hot chocolates, and so on and so forth. So it's nice that like we're back to where we began, and we've got our hot chocolate.
Yeah, it's sweet.
It is. Oh, I haven't
Literally.
tried it yet.
Oh, I meant the like story of it.
Oh.
But that was true too.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Both are sweet.
Really putting to work what happens when you get two Bettys in a room right now, I feel
Yeah.
like our little tagline.
I mean, that's so funny that that's our tagline and then it stopped being true.
It's not being true because we weren't in the
Because
same
we weren't
room.
in the same room anymore. I didn't even think about that till just now.
No, neither did I. But
But
we're in the same virtual room.
yes.
But do keep an ear out for upcoming episodes. I mean, granted, the season of Riverdale only has a couple left, but yeah, two, no, one. Next
One.
week. Next week
Yeah,
is the
next week's the last
finale.
one. Yeah.
But we are working on different options to bring you better audio, considering now that Heidi and I don't live in the same state. But yeah, this was almost the season finale, which would have been awesome if we were like together and it was the
Yeah.
season finale. But alas, it was the one before, but just as jam-packed.
Yeah, I think it's a great episode for us to be together for.
Yeah,
So,
chapter 34, I want to say. Yeah, Judgment Night.
Judgment night, not judgment day, because this all happened
And
at
it all
night.
happened at
A lot
night.
happened.
And Heidi was just telling me before we started recording that you left your notes at home or on the train?
No, I left them at home. I realized while I was on the train
Oh.
that I left my notes at home and I was just kicking myself.
I wish I'd actually started recording when you were explaining that because I was like, no, of all the episodes for you to forget your notes,
It's this
it's
one.
this one, which I thought was kind of funny, but
But
alas.
I mean, I feel I don't feel I feel more confident about it anyway because we're together and I didn't feel very confident in my notes regardless. So today was the day to forget them if I did.
You know, it's funny. I think because I'm traveling at the moment, I actually pulled out pen and paper the other day. When I was watching it. So I'm actually staying with a mutual friend of Heidi and ours, right far, far, far out in Brooklyn. But she was so sweet. She's given us her bedroom, which is
Oh.
so nice, my husband and I. But I was like, oh my God, it doesn't matter I'm traveling. It doesn't matter I've got people to see and places to go to. I have to watch this episode of Riverdale because this is the whole reunion of Heidi and I. I have to watch it.
Yeah.
So I watched it. The day after it aired, and then again this morning, whilst I was doing
Me
my
too.
makeup.
Same.
And my husband's always baffled. He's like, how can you like watch that but do your makeup? I'm like, sweetheart, I'm a woman, I got this.
Oh, double tasking is
It, Right.
Key.
Exactly. Multi.
That's why Alice could could trick her husband and Alice. Communicate with her eyes to Betty Alice. At the same time.
So where do you want to start? Because a lot happened in this episode. Yeah. Some new stuff happened in this episode, but and all stuff that kind of, you know, came back.
Yeah, and the hard thing is if we jump around, things very much need to be on the timeline of this episode, I feel.
Okay, then I know where I want to start. Sure. I want to start at the very beginning because, you know when we were talking last week and after we finished recording, Heidi's like, I feel like this was a short episode. And it was shorter than the normal Betty Squared, but only by like 5 minutes. But then I realized at the beginning of this episode, we didn't comment last week about the Black Hood, like, coming to Cheryl's door.
Yeah.
I realized that, too. I completely spaced on that.
I realized that, too, after we, like, hung up. I was like, we didn't talk about that. And we also didn't talk about how last episode, Hal, Betty tells Hal that Cheryl was with her when she found, when they went to his Cher B&B.
Betty tells, oh, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When they're together and she, and it's the, like, right after the town hall thing, and you're like, oh, maybe it's not Hal. Maybe that was a red herring, and now it's not Hal. And Betty's kind of getting a feel for him and talking to him about, well, why do you have...
Yeah, Cheryl Nancy, and I went
Cheryl
to...
and I went, yeah. And you see him, it's very specifically shot in a way where you see, like, his face at that moment when she right. says Cheryl.
But I didn't make that connection until this episode when I was like, oh, God, we didn't even talk about, like, the Black Hood making an appearance at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's obviously... Oh, okay. All right. So, Cheryl...
opens the door.
opens the door, and the Black Hood is there.
Mm-hmm.
She screams and runs off. Next thing, she's in this cute-ass red, like, arrow-esque...
Well, what's the funniest thing before that? Sorry to interrupt you.
No, go for it.
It's just that she runs upstairs, does that... It's that horror movie trope that, like, sucks, and you're like, why are you running upstairs? Like, you need to run out
There's
the back
nowhere
door.
There's nowhere to go.
Or nowhere to go. But she does somehow get out. She gets out the window, goes downstairs, somehow retrieves her... And she must have gone upstairs because that's where her...
cloak
her,
is?
Her hunting cloak, which she comments
gloves.
On. And I love that it's red. Of course it's red. Our own little red riding hood.
And then it's perfectly placed halfway over her eye, giving her, like, that edge of mystery. I was like, girl.
So badass. And I remember thinking, too, like, our girls in the Riverdale universe, they take care of themselves.
They
None
do.
Of them are damsels in distress.
No.
They are the ones who save themselves. Betty, Veronica... Cheryl, they all do it. Except for Tony. Tony didn't do that this episode, but she was tied up, so.
Yeah. She didn't look like she was tied up that well, but we'll...
No,
we'll,
but yeah.
Let's
also,
try
the
and,
ropes were interesting.
It
I don't
was.
Know.
It was all just weird.
It
let's,
was weird.
But let's go in order. Okay,
yeah.
So
just for
Cheryl
sanity's sake.
Shoots the Black Hood
mm-hmm, right
in
the
right shoulder, I think.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah,
right shoulder.
Which I was like, okay, great. I see what they're doing here because what's going to happen is they'll all be talking and then suddenly the Black Hood, which you and I had pretty much were like, yeah, it's Hal.
Yeah.
But me only last episode because the whole time I'd be like, it's Sheriff
Keller,
but it's not. I was like, at some point they're going to be talking to this character. It's going to be totally like PG, PC, whatever you want to say. And then all of a sudden his shoulder will start bleeding, which is exactly what did end up happening. But that was just a little added thing. It wasn't really the focus because he had already kind of exposed what was going on.
Yeah, it was more getting him to the hospital and then FP and like tying that all together. There was also when, so Cheryl calls Betty and warns her, hey, I wounded him, which is good so that Betty knows that that's a defining factor. If her father has a wound like that, then they know.
But Cheryl also suddenly has the ability to track. Did
yes,
you notice
which
that?
Was she's amazing.
Like, she's like, he's going through the forest and he's on foot and he's wounded and he's gone through the trees. I think he's headed for your house. I'm like, Cheryl, girl, you're a lesbian. Now you're like a freaking arrow-esque woman or red arrow or whatever they call it. I used to watch Arrow once upon a time, and then
I got
bored.
I've never watched that show. Yeah,
there
I
was
guess
this
probably
chick
some
that
sort
died,
of weird Arrow.
She didn't die, but then she became like one of those Arrow vigilante.
Oh, of course, yes. That superhero trope, of course.
I don't know. I don't follow it.
Yeah, no, I've never watched that show. But I mean, we've seen her with her bow and arrow before, so that tracked. But that she had some sort of like tracking abilities was a fun new ability of
hers.
She's
so badass.
She's just a woman of many surprises.
She really is. Like, it's so easy for her to be a non-likable character.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we started to have her redeemed with the relationship with Tony.
Yes.
And
kind of her mother's betrayal of her and, like, that whole situation as well.
Yeah, she's no longer the bad girl.
No.
Or, like, the mean girl.
No, she's much less a frenemy now, especially with what happened last episode with her and Betty, where they were kind of a duo of detectives. And she keeps being like, my cousin, that they're bonding over that familial bond that they do share by blood instead of using it against each other and fighting against each other. I think she now sees, especially with what happened to her, with her father and his own brother, and seeing that how important that is, good relationships with people you care about. I think that's why she's less combative with everyone.
Right. And interesting also that Betty has been going to her versus Archie versus Jughead, you know, has chosen Cheryl of all the people to go to. So
yeah, they have bonded over this. I love too that Cheryl was like, be careful. He's, of course, in her, like, her and her Veronica heightened language.
Yeah.
but of just being like, there's nothing that he has to lose now. Like, he's going to do whatever it takes at this point. And that means he might hurt you.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, you know, great foreshadowing, Cheryl. You called it.
Yeah, exactly. God, I'm trying to think about now the progression of this. It's hard not to jump around because there's so much, like, little things that I was like, oh, and this, and oh, and that.
Yeah. Well, after Cheryl calls Betty, she finds the blood in the sink, which was, like, first another, like, clue that...
Because he's, like, pulled out the
arrow. He's wounded, pulled out the arrow himself, or attempted to, maybe without success. Although doing that is probably a very bad idea.
I remember when I took I had to take my first aid training in Australia in order to work with kids. It's very regulated over there.
Yeah.
There was this one particular job where I was working in, like, Santa's village as an elf. But because I was the supervisor, if we had a kid, I don't know, go into anaphylactic shock or hurt themselves or collapse for whatever reason, I needed to know how to resuscitate. And the company that I went through, Australia, St. John's Ambulance, shout out, you guys do an amazing job. They taught us, like, literally everything. And they're like, if somebody is impaled, like, there was this situation where we had to pretend like we were on a bus that had just been in this horrific accident.
Yeah.
And I had to go on and assess who had what damage.
Oh,
and
wow.
How I would repair
them. Like a new triage.
It was freaking intense.
That's really intense.
Yeah.
With ours that we did here, it was like, you learn how to do CPR.
Mm-hmm.
They talk you through, like, what you should, the minimal things that you can do. And it's basically like, put pressure on. Don't really poke around too much. Like,
dude, I feel like I'm comfortable. Like, God forbid somebody start bleeding out. I'm like, get me a pen and a needle and thread. I got this, you guys.
Like, sew them up.
It was it was a 3-day training that I did. It was it was really quite an intensive one. But I remember them saying, like, if somebody is impaled, what you never ever ever remove it.
Yeah.
Like, if you can, like, break it and make it shorter without doing any damage.
But you have to be so steady.
Right.
Like, it's just intense.
As a general.
And I only know that from, like, watching a lot of Grey's Anatomy.
But, like, as a general, they're like, you get, like, a tourniquet or some kind of rag or, like, whatever, a shirt, something clean to stop, well, to try and help prevent infection. And you put it at the base of the thing and you just apply pressure.
Yeah.
You don't pull it out. You don't push it through. You just freaking leave it.
Yeah.
And then, like, very, very, very carefully at the hospital, surgeons will properly remove it and try and save the person's life.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, Hal, he's probably, like, being like, huah, and pulled it through his body.
And
which
messed it up even more.
You can't, like, with an arrow because of the head.
You can't pull it back
out. You can't pull it back out. It has to go the other way.
Yeah. Or you break it and, like, go both ways, but, like...
Right. Well, you have to break it because it's usually got the feathers
the little
on the end.
Feathery thing.
But again, you're breaking it, you're putting splinters through your freaking body.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely why he went to the hospital. I'm wondering if this is the best route to talk about this episode, because it might be hard to jump around each storyline. So maybe we can go through Betty, and we can go through Archie, Jughead, and then Veronica.
Okay, let's do it.
Because that might be the easiest way to do it.
I think Betty and Hal are obviously going to cross over.
I mean, that's... I just say Betty. Like, Hal, I don't know.
No, because,
what do you mean?
Like, at the end, like, when they're... confronting, like, if we're talking about Betty.
Betty,
like,
and Archie?
No.
You said Betty and Hal.
Yeah, Hal, her dad.
I didn't say a separate thing for him. I include him.
Oh,
in
you
that.
Do. Oh, okay. We're saying the same thing, okay, but two different ways.
Sorry,
okay.
This most confused. I was like, yeah, like
we were. I'm so sorry. We were saying the same thing, but yeah. In two different ways.
I'm just talking about the main four. Those are the because Cheryl kind of goes to other ones as well.
She does. Yeah.
So,
all right, let's start with Betty.
So we
then.
Won't follow her. Yeah. So we'll just continue with Betty. So she gets home, then she gets the call from FP that.
Hospital.
Yeah, that Hal's in the hospital. And FP's like, do you want me to check on him? And I'm glad she said no. If she hadn't said no, I think FP might have gotten into some sort of tussle with Hal.
Yeah.
Which may have ended like that doctor who Hal ended up killing.
Anyway.
This
is a freaking psychopath.
Yeah. I mean, there's some of like Betty checking on her mom, but I don't necessarily think that's too important. She's at the register and that stuff, which tracks.
Yeah. And then obviously, then the big reveal at the end.
Yeah.
And then the phone call from Jughead, obviously, at the end.
Yeah. What did you think about the reveal, the, like, real reveal? Because it doesn't feel like a reveal that Hal is the Black Hood, because I've just been suspecting it all along. Mm-hmm. So, like, to me, there's no, like, oh, my gosh. But I guess to some people, maybe this was the episode and, like, the moment where this is, like, exposing.
Yeah.
But what did you feel about the background of why Hal was doing it with the old family movies and things like that when they went home?
I just remember thinking he's putting on these old, like, 8mm films mm-hmm. and there's riots outside. I'm like... clearly shit's about to go down.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's some holes in the storyline.
Sure.
So, like, Alice exactly says it. She's like, you're so righteous. You know, you're trying to rid the town of sin. You had an affair with Penelope Blossom.
Yeah.
So that, for me, doesn't track. But I like that they acknowledge that it doesn't track because it kind of adds to he's crazy.
Yes, yeah. Not well.
No. So for me, it's kind of like that... was a hole in the story that they tried to fix because maybe Hal didn't start out being the Black Hood.
Yeah, and maybe they left it open for a reason.
Yeah, maybe at the end they're like, actually, you know what? It does make more sense for him to be the Black Hood. Maybe the actor wanted to leave the season. Maybe, you know, he needed a hiatus for a movie. Like, we might see him go to jail and then come out or break out or whatever.
Yeah.
Or maybe they were just done with his storyline and they're going to now explore the Alice and FP thing, which, you know, we've been seeing on time and, you know, on occasion. I liked the old film. I thought that was a really cool, like, old school horror movie kind of go-to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What really creeped me out about that whole thing was not the old movies. It was two things. The recording,
mm-hmm.
when he's like, you take out your recorder and I'm leaving this behind because of what I'm going to do to you.
Yeah. When they find us.
Yeah. That I was like, oh, that's so freaking cool.
Yeah. That was a good one.
But another little like acting thing, and I'm wondering if the actor himself did it or whether it was a directing thing, was when they were watching the video and the mother's like, say it. What am I, or what are you going to do? And blah, blah, blah. And they cut to Hal. Hal was mouthing the words
yeah.
along with his younger self and his mom. I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah.
Because although it didn't seem enough for me, like, the story of Hal, you know, becoming this monster.
Yeah.
I needed to see little signs of that earlier
mm-hmm.
to really believe it at the end for the big reveal.
Yeah.
That little nuance kind of added to that. No, this has really been ingrained in him and he has been fighting this.
Yeah, definitely.
To the point where, you know, he could fight it no longer.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing about a lot of sociopaths and people like Bundy and stuff like that is that mm-hmm. they have this charisma. They have this, like, inherent natural charisma.
Right.
Which is why they are able to fool people so easily. So I'm wondering, because ever since I've started watching the show with Hal, and I've said it on this podcast, he is not a character that I have enjoyed and who is just always seemed off to me. And I'm wondering,
I never picked it.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah. He just never seemed very empathetic, and I could see it, that he never really, like, cared about his family. He could pretend to care, but the way that he cared was not about the people in his family, but about what it looked like, about how their family appeared.
Very much. But I think that's true on Alice's behalf as well.
Sure, but she's gotten
better about it.
She's gotten better about it. And she does also care about Betty. I don't know. And Polly. It comes out in awful ways. Because what she wants for them isn't what is good for anyone. But you kind of see that more with her than you do with Hal. He's quite more callous and things like that. And I'm wondering, too, because, I mean, he's fooled people all his life. If it's just, like, from when we kind of start this journey with Riverdale, which is why stories are told at certain times, because, like, that is the time in which things are happening and are exciting. I'm curious, like, about past Hal, of how he fooled everyone and things like that, because that seems to be what had probably happened.
I wonder if it goes deeper.
I'm sure.
Definitely. I mean, there's probably, like, kids that went missing when he was a kid, you know, or...
Yeah, and it made sense.
They probably could never have bunny rabbits as pets.
Yeah, and it made sense.
But the mom was like that too. So,
yeah. It made sense that I mean, Betty doesn't have any pets. Like, they don't. Archie has a dog. Like, even Jughead kind of had a dog at one point. Mm. Betty doesn't seem to have any pets. No. Probably never did. And I know that's kind of a sign. And, oh gosh, I had a thought. Oh, it was when they kind of tied it back to Betty's speech, which always has been, like, the inciting incident for the Black Hood resurgence. And they tied it back to that she had said something that triggered it in him.
Right. That they had
both said.
Verbatim. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Word for word. They said the same thing, which obviously...
So that really made sense that they brought it back to that. And that's why he was so focused on her and what she had said and things like that. They could have done that with anyone. So I get why they had her say those specific words and why the speech was the thing. Because they really did leave it open to themselves to make it anyone in the town
Absolutely.
Who could have just been triggered by that.
And they just film a little pickup, you know, where Hal was sitting next to Alice during that speech and kind of goes, oh, you know, that realization moment of, oh, yes, we have to do better. You know, the town needs to be cleansed.
It's time for me to pick up the mantle or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And go and kill some sinners.
Yeah. But
I am dying to talk about this other Black Hood.
Oh, yeah.
Should we hold off on that?
Do you want to just... So they just, like, beat him up, and they totally win. I just want to wrap up the Betty.
Like, oh, I was like, wait, the other Black Hood? They beat him up and they win?
No.
Oh, yeah. Going back to that, that was freaking awesome, where Betty, like, is like, boof! And then how Alice, prior to that, is like, that's why I've been going out and...
she says I went out with you FP.
With FP, and he's like, all the man that you could never be. And I was like,
yep.
I was like, because he's so hot.
Yeah. Very true. We see that proof of that later, too.
Oh, my. I want to talk about that moment because I had... Oh, no. I'll hold on that because it was so funny.
It was such a good moment.
But, it was... it was great because Betty clobbers him, and then Alice gets it and just kind of, like, really gives him one.
She really gives him a good
that
one.
That I thought she was going to keep going.
Yeah, I thought she was going to keep going and she might kill him. But I'm
glad
she did.
Yes, Alice. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then at the end of Betty's, just talking about Betty's storyline.
Yeah.
Without the Jughead stuff at the very, very end, which ties everybody together. Betty sees Archie and they kind of realize that Hal wasn't alone in this.
Right.
Which we kind of suspected the whole time.
That there was somebody else.
Yeah. So we could talk about Archie next. Archie's whole thing.
Yeah. Archie. Archie.
Because it also goes into the dad part.
He's so good-hearted and good-natured, but he's a freaking idiot.
He is.
Again, going back to the comics, the very first one that I read was the vamp of Archie comics, you mm-hmm. know, kind of, you know, with the awesome graphic designers and everything like that. But the first couple of pages of that, you know, Veronica's just moved to town and stuff, and Archie's completely smitten with her.
Mm-hmm.
But the people of Riverdale describe Archie as a klutz, like you know, he's like building on a construction, or he's like, what? No, that's right. In the comic that I read, the first one, like I said, of the revamp, he, like, goes past the lodges new mansion that's being built and like throw something or kick something, I can't quite remember, and the whole mansion falls down.
Of course.
And everyone's like, oh, that's so typically Archie. And then Veronica moves to town and he's all like, oh, I love her. And then she's like, carry my books. Like, she's quite mean. But he is described as that, like,
just like klutzy.
They're like, oh God, when is he ever going to get it? So it's, yeah.
It tracks that that's how we felt about him all season.
Yeah. But it's, oh God, he's so, he's not dumb. He's not a dumb character, but he's so, like, his responses to stuff are so quick and so emotionally driven.
Yeah. Yes.
He doesn't quite,
he doesn't use his brain. He doesn't think it through. Yeah. Whereas we have analytical Betty and Jughead who think, and even Veronica, think everything through 10 times before they act.
Archie's a little slower on the uptake.
Archie's just more impassioned, yeah. I guess. He's, he just reacts instead of really thinking about anything. I do love that Pops, so they get stuck in, they finally track down Reggie.
Uh-huh. And he's at Pops.
And he's at Pops, and they, and he didn't shoot Fangs.
Fangs, yeah.
Thankfully. And they get stuck in there because the ghoulies come, which was like, of course.
I was just like, really? Right freaking now? Of course, yes, because that makes the most sense, because that's the most tension for this climactic,
yes.
You know?
And we realize later on with Jughead why that all happens. He kind of figures it all out. Of course, as Jughead does. And I love that Pops is like, I don't have a gun, but I can teach you something. Like, yes. He teaches him how to make a Molotov. Like,
Pops comes from a bit of a past, I think.
Yeah. Well, he said something about ever since the war. I wonder which war. Very interesting, probably. Maybe Vietnam or something, but I don't know. Ever since the war, he doesn't have guns, but he will make a Molotov cocktail or two. and I love that. And also, I think that's the, with klutzy Archie as he is, that worries me. I hope he doesn't use this later
Archie's
on.
Archie's like up on the top of Pops, throwing those bottles down, and I'm like, Archie, you're gonna burn yourself, honey.
Yeah,
just stop. Like, I get you're trying to help, but you're just gonna make it worse.
One drop Molotov and everything's bad.
Like, I know, right? Exactly.
But so he's doing that, and then we have a cruiser pull up, and it's just, what did Kevin say?
Oh my God, hot dads of Riverdale. Okay, so this is, I've been dying
hot
to talk
dads
about
of Riverdale
this
to the rescue.
Because literally, Sheriff Keller gets out, and he does that thing where it's like, you know, like when you like cock a rifle, but you don't actually, like, you hold the rifle and then you cock
it. He does
it
without
bottom.
Holding it.
He holds onto the thing and like throws it up and down. I'm like, damn, that's hot.
Yeah, it was
hot. And then Luke Perry, Fred gets out of the car, and then FP like takes his helmet off, and the three of them are walking. And then which actually kind of like threw me a bit that Kevin said it, because I remember thinking,
well, yeah, because
it's his dad. But then I was
I guess he can without being attracted to his own father, recognize
it's the, the handsome men. But it was so funny because the three of them come together, and I was like, if that had been slow motion, I would have watched that 100 times over.
Someone that has to have made an edit of that.
Oh,
though.
Definitely.
We'll have to find it.
Definitely.
Because, yeah, that was an amazing moment.
I know, because I literally, in my brain, I was like, whoa. And then literally you cut to Kevin. It's like, oh, hot dad's a river now, and he takes a photo.
Well, and I thought that was so weird at first, but then I realized, no,
this is
smart.
Kevin.
Well, it's also Kevin. It's very to him. I did like kind of an eye roll at first, but I was like, oh no, this is great for Fred's campaign.
Yeah, that he's in
actual
there.
Photo of him coming and saving the day is great for his campaign.
But there was this one moment, like in that little thing, and I'm probably like completely made this up in my head, but like. Like, FP is just there for a split second, and all he does is he's, like, looking to the side, and he just takes his helmet off, and then Kevin takes the photo. But it was, like, in my mind, that was slow motion.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was back in his Scream days, where although he was the baddie, spoiler
alert,
he was so sexy.
There's a reason he was also the boyfriend.
So sexy.
Spoiler alert,
I mean,
for Scream.
You got him, and you got Luke Perry. Like, I mean, there is my childhood.
Yeah, and then Molly Ringwald too. Like when she's there,
you got
like,
your classics. It's the casting is just, I love this
show. It's so incredible.
Yeah.
that was a great moment. I also, earlier than that, so go back a little bit, when they're kind of in the, like, heat of the riots, and then they go to the school, and they're, like, defending the high school from the serpents, who are all kind of, like, upset or whatever. Kevin's hair is just, like, not gelled perfectly. It's, like, off.
Oh,
and, like,
really?
Kind of falling in front of his face.
I don't think I noticed that.
It was, like, one of the very first scenes with him in the episode. So it might have been before the high school, but, like, when they're in, like, the heat of the riots kind of thing on the streets.
Yeah.
But he has his hairs, like, uncoiffed, and I was like, you know things are serious.
When because Kevin's Kevin hair, has not done his hair.
His hair is messed up, and he hasn't fixed it. And I just thought that was very funny.
No, I must have missed that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I noticed it in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, don't recall it now to be like, oh, yeah, I get what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was a very quick moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Archie saved by the dads.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything between that and then them going home? I don't think so. Not for Archie.
For Archie, no, because the beginning of the episode, he's received the call from Jughead. He goes to help. He stops Reggie. Then he's like, well, he and Sweet Pea are about to have that head-to-head at the school.
Yeah.
And Archie was like, no, it wasn't Reggie. It was Ethel's mom. Midge's mom.
Mrs. Clump.
And then Sweet Pea's all like, nope, don't care. You guys took everything.
Which is just such misplaced anger. They have Sweet Pea.
He's always looking
for a fight. And he very much has a... If they would just listen to Jughead, they would know that the real enemy is not the Ghoulies, it's not Penny Peabody, it's not the Northsiders, it's Hiram. It's just Hiram.
Exactly.
But they can't settle themselves enough to think it through.
Yeah.
But yeah, then Archie and his dad go home, and...
Oh my god.
And
okay.
Then, yeah, I want to get to this part.
Okay, so when the Black Hood, and I'm using quotation marks because it wasn't...
It's not Hal the Black Hood,
so
it's a different
one.
I
think I'm going to separate it like this. Hal is the Black Hood, because I want to talk about more about who this other guy is.
Yeah, because when he asks Betty, what did I do, Betty? And she says, all of the things that we know the Black Hood to have done, all the people he hurt and killed.
Yes.
He agrees, and he's like, he doesn't negate that story at all.
No.
But he does say that it wasn't him
at the
town hall with the shooting, which we know to be true because he was there with Betty.
But I have a theory about who that is, but
interesting.
I want to keep going, but so...
But you don't think that Black Hood is the same as the one that attacked Fred?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
But, so that's how I want to differentiate, just for clarity, is that in my mind, when I say the Black Hood, I'm referring to Hal.
Yes.
When I'm saying to, like, the Black Hood with, like, the talkie marks, I'm talking about this other guy who I'll talk about at the minute. So I think that, yes.
The Mystery Man.
The Mystery Man. Let's call him the Mystery Man. That makes it clearer. He was the one that shot Fred. He was the one that shot up the town hall.
In this, the second time Fred got shot. Because we think...
Yes. Not from the beginning.
Yeah,
from the beginning.
Just this time.
The first time Fred got shot...
It was Hal.
Yeah.
Yeah. He agreed to that.
Yeah. So, Oh, my God. So, when the Black Hood, like, jumps out and shoots Fred the second time,
mm-hmm.
even though it's two different people.
Yeah. Well, and he, like, wrestles with Archie. Like, they're fighting for
I jumped up out of bed and was like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband was like, shut up. It's 2 a.m. in the morning, or whenever it was, because we'd gotten back from, like, a Yankees game. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I've got to watch Riverdale right now. And, my husband was not happy about that. But I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. They've killed him. He's actually dead now.
Yeah.
And then when he opened his jacket and he's like, I had the bulletproof vest, I was like, oh, thank Christ, Fred. Thank Christ.
Yeah, definitely.
I had such
and
a moment where I thought
Sheriff
he was
Keller.
Gone.
Sheriff Keller. Thank Sheriff Keller. Like, he's, because Fred says, like, Tom Keller told us to wear these.
Yeah.
Oh.
But, I had such a moment where I was like, nah, if Luke Perry's gone, I'm done.
I didn't think that they could do that again. He was so close to death and things like that. If he does die in the future at some point in the show, it can't be like that because we've already done that.
Right.
I can't really watch Archie, like, hold his bloody father and cry over it, like, anymore. Like, that we've had that moment.
Yeah.
So I was glad they didn't do that again. And then, of course, Archie goes and runs after
because he's a
Mystery
freaking
Man.
Idiot.
Because he just reacts.
With a heart of gold, but you're so fucking dumb.
So dumb. But he doesn't catch him. He loses him. So we don't know where that mystery guy went.
Yeah. Is now a good time to segue into who I think this mystery guy is?
Yeah, I think now's the time. Sure. Because I have no idea. I do think that it's someone... I feel like it's someone hired by Hiram.
Yes. Because 100%.
Because it and the it town
is not
hall,
a Black Hood. It no. is not a copycat.
No.
It is somebody hired by Hiram. Like, I would say Andre. If he had made it through this episode, it would have been
R.I.P. Andre. I was sad about that.
He's a sweetheart. Even though he's a killer and a, like yeah, the right-hand man.
He still was like,
he cared for Veronica.
Yeah.
I mean, it still very much could have been him. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, the timing of everything, yeah, it could have actually been him.
We don't know exactly how that how all of it lines up with Veronica's storyline, really.
As far as I am concerned, I'm really, I don't know why, I feel very stubborn about this, but, or adamant, really.
Mm-hmm.
The Black Hood is done. It was Hal.
I think the Black Hood is done. This other guy is yeah, yeah, I think it's someone hired by Hiram because it was at the town hall, no one got hurt. In reality,
it was done to create hype,
create chaos. Like, really, mm-hmm, he knew that that night, because this is the night of the town hall, of the debate, this yeah, night that this is happening. So he knew that this would be the starting point of this whole night. This is exactly what Hiram wanted to create.
To scare Hermione a little.
Yeah.
So that she feels that she is protected by her husband,
yeah,
and is then more willing to go along with this thing like this October yeah, surprise where her and Fred's affair is exposed.
Yeah, he wanted to just keep her more under yeah, his thumb.
But 100% this copycat Black Hood or whoever is somebody from Hiram, and the minute Hiram is caught and this is all wrapped up, that like the Black Hood storyline is done.
I believe so too, and yeah, I think that the reason this guy, Hiram, then went, go to Fred Andrews' house, and da-da-da-da-da. I don't necessarily think he was there to kill Fred, because he had snuck in through the back door. I think he was caught by the Andrews boys.
So what was he doing in the house, though?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But I also think Hiram wasn't necessarily against him hurting Fred again, because no, right before that, the thing we see from Hiram right before that, is him on the phone with someone. Who was he on the phone
Reggie?
With?
Reggie? Was that when Reggie calls and he goes, I got shot Fangs. And Hiram's like, I can't help you, Reggie. No. And then hangs up.
That was a creepy moment, but no.
He laughed. Oh my God, he laughed. Ooh, I want to punch him in the face.
He like giggled like a little girl. No, there was a call after that. And someone told him.
Was it the conversation with Jughead? No.
Someone told Hiram on the phone, I can't remember who it was, that the dads, Fred Andrews, FP, and Sheriff Keller, came and saved Reggie and all those boys from the Ghoulies.
Was it Pops?
It was Pops.
Yeah, Pops has a conversation with Hiram. It was Pops. The same one?
It's that one.
Oh, Mr. Lodge, I just want you to know that...
They're calling him a hero, is what Pops yes, said about Fred. And yes, Hiram is so angry about that. When he gets off the phone, you can just see, like, the anger in him. And I definitely think that's not a coincidence. Yeah, so I think we're talking about Hiram a lot. We might want to just segue into Veronica.
Yeah.
Because I really liked what was going on with... I normally don't like the lodges and like their whole things, but I love the like let's be against Hiram thing.
I was gonna say let's also bring Hermione into that too.
Oh yes, that's totally part of it.
I have to say, I find Veronica frustrating,
mm-hmm,
and I'm not sure I like her.
Yeah.
I am very, very pulled with her on a lot of occasions. One minute I'm like, yes, Veronica, finally.
Yeah.
And other times I'm like, would you just shut up?
Yeah.
I think for the last maybe couple of episodes, she's starting to redeem herself in my eyes.
Yeah.
But when she does come on the screen, I find myself being like, ugh. And I think it's just because I've been so frustrated with her for so long.
That's true. I don't think Veronica is that girl you want to be friends with. That's not, at least not for us, but.
She's very headstrong. I went to college with this girl that I feel like would be a Veronica Lodge.
I did too.
She wasn't ever nasty. She was just very firm. Mm-hmm. Like she was very, it was very much like she had her opinions.
Yeah.
Like, I'll never forget. So she was from a European country. I won't say which. But randomly in film class, we happened to be talking about our blood type. Don't even ask me why. Now, it is fairly common. And again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not saying, because I'm saying this on a podcast, it's 100% correct.
No.
But I was under the impression, and she's created doubt in my mind, I was under the impression that 9 times out of 10, say your mom, her blood type is a B plus or B positive. 9 times out of 10, so will her children,
mm-hmm.
because that is something that happens when they form in the womb and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But then obviously you get all different types of blood types. You get rare blood types like an O and, you know, yeah. so stuff happens. But I remember in this film class, this is just to give you an idea of this like Veronica-esque type woman that I went to college with. I remember I was like, yeah, 9 times out of 10, the child does tend to have the same blood type as the mom. And she was like, no. And I'm like, I'm sorry? She's like, no, that's not true. I don't know where you heard that, but that's not true.
Jeez.
And she's like, and anybody who has B positive blood types is a gypsy. It's a known fact. And the whole class
is a gypsy?
Was like, what? Like it was, but again, like, it sounds like ludicrous.
Yeah.
But she was so firm and so convinced in her opinion and so unwilling to hear anything else.
Yeah.
I remember my lecturer just looked at me and I looked at him and we just kind of like half, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then, like, just changed the topic and continued. And everybody else in the class was like, what the hell? Calm down. We're talking about blood types.
Very strong opinions on blood types.
But I feel like Veronica would do something like that, you know?
Yeah, she knows what she believes in and is willing to, like, fight for it. Well, and I thought it was a really interesting thing, and it just shows Veronica just has this really – she can just easily go to unlikable. Like, that's just very easy for her to go to. And I don't know if that's – I think it's character. I don't think that that's Camilla.
Yeah. Camilla Mendes.
Yeah, I don't think that's her.
I think that's character. Sweetheart. Yeah.
I think that's very much the Veronica, not the actor.
The comments that we make are about characters. Like,
yes,
like
exactly.
Us saying
unless
that
–
unless we say that's really shitty acting. But, you know.
But we haven't done that.
I don't think – no, ever.
I don't think so.
Well, that's like even talking before about Archie. That's a comment on the character. That's not a comment KJ Apa. On yeah, exactly. That's not a comment.
And they're only on KJ. They're only yeah. but there was this moment which just went to the Veronica and likability like thing where she is arguing with her mom about her father, or it's right before they kind of argue about Hiram, but she's when she finds out about the bounty, which is also like such a crazy thing.
Yeah.
But, like only on Riverdale.
Of course.
Where Hermione says, we're having $1 million bounty for the Black Hood, alive or preferably dead. Like, are you, is that, that's not legal. Like,
no, it's not. Like, and I'm sorry. Just because you have money, you can say that you want somebody dead?
No. That's pretty bad. But,
No.
Oh, and I wonder, oh my gosh, I think what? I just had a realization. I'll talk about this thing first, but the unlikability thing with Veronica is that, like, when she hears about that, she then goes, well, you can't use my money. I'm going to get it back. And she, like, runs into the
and,
office
like, barricades the door. And her mom's like, it's not in there. But, you
which
know.
Was, like, that was very, it was very much a teen moment. Like,
it was.
It was Veronica actually being her age.
And she was wearing that gorgeous dress.
Yeah, which was, like, why were you wearing this outfit?
Stunning. She's, like, running around the,
just, like,
the office.
Skirts
and
flowing.
It's just flowing. And I was like, girl, you look good.
Yeah, she did. She was really cute this episode.
Yeah, no, that dress was beautiful.
I don't know why she was even wearing that.
I mean, why not? She's Veronica Lodge.
It's so weird.
It was beautiful.
The realization I just had is that, so, we think that this mystery man, fake Black Hood, is someone who was paid by Hiram to do these things.
You then know who I actually think it is?
Oh, wait. You didn't, wait.
Who? I know, I've forgotten it. I just remember it because I'm just so excited that I'm in the same room with you. I think it's Reggie.
I don't think.
I think initially, I think at the town hall was Reggie.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I don't think the other one would be.
No.
No. Because I think after everything Archie did for him.
I should have mentioned that earlier.
maybe the shooting at the town hall, maybe, but I don't think the second one for sure. And I do think that they are the same person, so I don't
know. Whoever it is quite spry.
But
that's what makes me think it's a bulldog.
Yeah. But they do look like, they look like Hal's build. They made him look like that, though. So,
well,
I don't know.
Reggie's kind of tall.
Yeah, but not like, a really funny comment that Cheryl made at the beginning of the episode when Betty is like, was it my dad when with the black hood that broke into her house?
Yeah.
Who we believe is Hal.
Yes.
Yes, is Hal.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Backtracking. But she says, like, something about, like, his waistline. Like, judging by his waistline, it could be your dad. And I was like, that's so funny because...
What?
It was funny because I had had the same thought because, like, younger men just aren't even...
Well, their weight sits differently.
Yes. And they just aren't as, like... There's this weird thing that happens, like, mid-20s. I noticed it with my brother. I have an older brother, and he was very, very skinny. Up until, like, he was, like, 22 or 23. Yeah. And then he just kind of got thicker. Like, if you compare, he did this before, so this isn't just me saying this. He noticed it, too. His first driver's license to his, like, new picture that he got when he was probably, like, 25 or 26, maybe not even that, his neck was just so much thicker than when he was this little kid. And... his waist gets thicker too, not fat, but just thicker.
Yeah, they just fill out in different areas.
Yeah, they just kind of, their build gets leaner.
Right.
And that's very much what both Black Hoods look like. They don't really look like Reggie, although he is built, isn't thick like that.
But they move differently.
They do move differently, I agree. But I don't, I still think it's like middle age, but we'll see. He also has to have green eyes because...
He what looked color at is Reggie's eyes. They're not green.
They're not green. I think they're brown. But sorry, I got around my
apologize.
I got around my point. But so Hiram hires this other Black Hood to do the thing in the town hall to break into Fred Andrews' house, maybe shoot Fred, or maybe just to find something. We don't really know. And then they put out a bounty for him.
Mm-hmm.
So that Hiram can catch him.
Probably.
Or the sheriff that they want to be the sheriff to catch him.
Or even Hermione.
Or even Hermione. That's an interesting thought. I just thought of that just now.
I don't think Hermione is in on this. She's second Black Hood.
Out now.
Because you saw the way that she was completely shaken.
Oh, yes, yes.
After the shooting at the town hall.
Yeah.
She was not ready for that. This is something that he has organized.
Well, and she says, like, is there something you're not telling me? She says, like, she asks him and he says like, no. And he's like, no,
which absolutely, because he's, oh, God, he needs to die. When's he going to die?
I don't know. Hopefully soon.
Maybe I'll get cast in next season and I can just shoot him.
That'll... I don't like this part. Let's
no, me as the character, not me as like Jet. Oh God, great. And then they'll be like, in breaking news, Jessica Fernando has been arrested, and here is the podcast proving that it was premeditated.
Ah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Hopefully that actor doesn't die.
Oh God. Oh God. Do you know what the thing is? I bet he's a really nice guy.
Oh,
I bet
I'm
he's
sure.
Like the coolest to hang out with.
Probably.
He seems very charismatic, which is why he's so perfect as Hiram.
As Hiram. Yeah.
Because
he has to be able to get away with
but
all
of it. But I feel like he would actually be like a really fun dad.
Yeah. I'm sure.
He just plays an asshole on the show.
Yeah, he just plays a totally unlikable a-hole on the show.
But like to his credit, he's doing a freaking stand-up job. Like, you know, I still find moments of redemption with Hiram. Very small.
Very
and they're getting
small.
Fewer and fewer.
Yeah. There were none this episode.
Well, see, the only part that I was like, oh, he genuinely cares about Hermione and Veronica is when he, pardon me, he came home to find Andre dead on the floor.
Yeah.
There was a split second where he was like, oh my God. But if you notice, he ran up to the apartment. He said Veronica first, then Hermione. So I really do think he has love for them.
Yeah, I think so,
he
too.
He just shows it in a very unhealthy way.
Yeah, and he's just so corrupt that there. I think for him, family doesn't necessarily come first as much as I think he would say that it does.
Yeah, I think, if you were like, what's the most important thing in your life, you'd say family, but he has
it's really power.
Yeah,
and he thinks he needs the power and he needs that other stuff to take care of them when he doesn't.
Totally.
Yeah. And so Veronica and her mom are fighting about Hiram and then come face to face with
Small Fry, who is
not
giant.
So small, which makes sense that,
I mean, I knew that was coming to happen.
It had to be.
Yeah. But that was a really nice little, clean storyline tie-in.
Yeah.
Like, they mentioned it last episode. We see him this one. He comes for the revenge. It just happens that his timing is really, really shitty.
Well, or really good, because it kind of really solidified, it seemed to me, with Hermione and Veronica's fight about Hiram and, like, is what he wants and what he's plotting good for them, or is it just good for his what he wants at
his
the end of
campaign,
it. His campaign,
even though...
his power, his things like that. That kind of versus comes to a head with Small Fry, and that him coming and almost killing them brings them together. It makes her, it seems to wake up Hermione.
She's going to remain woken, though?
I think so. At least with the campaign. I wouldn't be surprised if she, like, kind of shoots herself in the foot with the campaign. I don't think
like
the October surprise is going to happen. I don't think she's going to allow for that to go out.
If she does something like calls a town meeting and says something like, there's something that I need to confess. I was seeing Fred when I was still married to Hiram.
The only thing is that if she does that, it also does ruin Fred's. It's still...
Well, the thing is, I'm wondering if she's like, and because of this, and because my husband was going to use this information to destroy a good man, I'm removing myself from the
Maybe.
Mayoral.
She might resign. Yeah. That would be the other thing. We'll see if she continues with it and just kind of, ruins the campaign for herself and, like, kind of throws the towel in. She's going to resign. It's got to be one or the other. We'll have to see.
It's going
to
be interesting.
Or if they just kind of if they don't do the October surprise, let it play out, see what happens, and then she loses. Which I think at this point, I don't see her. I think I see Fred winning. But
so
I hope so.
Next week is the last week.
Mm-hmm. And we're definitely going to see the election.
Yeah, and then what are we thinking about Jughead? He's not dead.
He can't be dead.
He's not. I mean, that would be...
He can't
like,
be dead.
Why would he leave? Like, why would... You know?
Well,
Cole has got something super awesome lined up that's better than Riverdale.
I can't imagine that happening.
No, me either.
That was crappy. I didn't like that at all.
FP's face,
and he's holding him.
He's
and
not
like,
a pretty crier, though.
No, this he's is, not a pretty crier.
He's not a pretty crier.
But it was a great moment.
It was.
TV-wise. And, like, the whole episode with just Jughead's storyline and what he was going through the whole time, there was a lot of, like, being a leader and when you're a leader and, like, and things like that. And there's a moment where FP and him are in the hospital and they're fighting and And I think Jughead wants to leave, and FP's convincing him not to because he has to take care of people here. He has to call, mm-hmm. Fangs' family and all, things like that.
Yeah.
And FP says something along the lines of, like, that's what leaders do, or good leaders do, or something like that.
And the idea in his head.
And Jughead kind of says, well, something along the lines of, like, he knows he's not a good one. He knows he's not a leader. He struggles with being a leader. We saw it the first season with Jughead, and it's kind of why I personally am drawn to Jughead, and it's so cliche, but like his whole speech about like I'm a weirdo, like I'm not like everyone else. He's never really fit in anywhere until he fit in with the Serpents, but he still struggles to fit in there.
He does.
And then he was forced kind of because his father's a leader, he's forced into that too, just by kind of like legacy terms.
Mm.
And so it's not a role that's comfortable for him. He's so intellectual, and a lot of the things that the Serpents do aren't quite that. They're more reactive, and they're more brawn over brains and things like that. It doesn't quite fit him, so he struggles to make decisions for that group that make sense for the whole group because his thoughts are so much different. He can mm-hmm. think the best for them, but he can't make it happen because it's not really what they are naturally going to do.
Right.
And so
he's not dead. Like,
no, he can't be.
We would have heard something about him leaving the show.
Yeah, he did. Of course, Cole did tweet something. I don't know if you.
Oh, did he?
He did.
Oh my god, he's such a little shitster, though. Because he'll do stuff like that.
Yeah, he definitely said something about like I'm gonna pull it up right now.
Yeah,
so.
Do. I mean, he's definitely not dead.
I don't think so.
Maybe he's gonna be in a coma for a bit, but that tattoo being cut off.
Yeah.
That, even now thinking about it.
Yeah.
Makes me feel a bit yuck.
He said, grateful. Thank you, River. Hashtag Riverdale.
No. No, Cole.
He did.
No, why would you do that?
It's got to be. The same thing happened.
He is a shitster, though.
He is.
We've known that for a really long time.
He is. And the same thing happened with Steven Yeun when
Walking Dead?
When he was on The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And he, spoilers, if you haven't watched The Walking Dead, what's the use anymore? He's already gone. Steven Yeun is an incredible actor. Glenn Rhee is one of my favorite characters of all time. In anything, any book, any series, any TV, anything.
I walked past him in Times Square.
I hate you.
Sorry. In front of the McDonald's next to Aladdin, like my first week when I first moved to New York, he walked past and my roommate at the time was like, that's the guy from The Walking Dead. And I was like, I don't watch that show. And then like a year later, I started watching it. And I was like, oh yeah, that was the guy.
You can't see my face, but she's shaking.
I'm like, girl, he just walked. I just spat everywhere.
I've thought about, especially after the episode where he was killed off, I was like, what would I do if I met Steven
Yeun? Honey, I walked past him. I didn't even make eye contact. I saw the back of his head.
Just because if I met, like, I just don't know what I would do. Because his character is just one that, for whatever reason, is just one of my favorite characters of all time.
You're like me when I met Tundra Cole last week and, like, started crying.
Right, the thought of meeting him, geez, so yeah, I'm sure. I don't think I could probably even, like, walk up to him, unfortunately. I'm one of those people who, like, I would freeze up and I'd just be like,
but I would have been like, I would do it for you. I'd be like, hey, my friend really wants to meet you. Can you just come over here? I have no shame.
Totally die. But he did that too when they faked his death before his real death. It was the season before. Season before he died, there was a fake out death where he, with the under the dumpster, if you've watched The Walking Dead, you know that's the part that I'm talking about, and it's very frustrating. Because at first you're like, oh my god, he's dead, and then you kind of like think about the moment, you watch the scene again, and you're like, oh no, no. But they faked it so hard, like the whole thing, like, and he even I remember him tweeting something too, where he was like, love The Walking Dead. It's like, fuck you.
But, okay, so Cole is a shit stirrer.
Yeah, yeah.
He does and funny he has things to like do that. It. Even with his brother, all the time. Oh, yeah. Hilarious.
Yeah.
So I don't think
he's dead. I think
this is him being a bit of a shit.
Yeah, I think so too. I think
they're not going to kill off Jughead Jones from fucking Riverdale. Excuse the French, but
no, it would be very, it would be crazy. If it would be a
Check Lily's Twitter.
I don't think she said anything.
No, because she's sensible. I feel like he's the mischievous one, which is why he's so great at Jughead.
And it's easier just to say nothing than to say the wrong thing.
Right. Or even Corey.
Corey.
Yeah, his Twitter. See if they've said anything on there. Because I feel like Corey would say something. I feel like Lily is really sensible and she wouldn't say anything. Especially now that, you know, they were seen together at the Met Gala last week and stuff like that.
Yeah, same day. Of course, she posts adorable pictures.
I know. I stalked her Instagram the other day, and everything she's got is beautiful. My husband's like, oh, who's that? She's hot. I'm like, oh, it's Betty Cooper, and she's perfect.
What day did this episode air?
Wednesday. Oh, date?
What was the day of
the week? The date would have been like the 9th?
Okay. Because she tweeted on the 5th, big day today, good luck, Juggy.
Oh.
But that wasn't the same day as the episode. No, she hasn't said anything about it.
That's because she's sensible. Oh, well. Never mind. We digress.
Yeah, she is quite sensible.
She is.
Absolutely.
But yeah, if Jughead is revealed as alive, I'm personally going to find freaking Cole and punch him.
Yeah, no, they kind of have to when they're in that situation. They want to play it up and stir the pot a little bit and make sure people kind of, they want enough people to believe it that it's fun when it's not true.
Yeah. But if he wasn't such a prankster, I'd be like, oh my god, he's really gone.
Yeah.
But because he is, I don't believe it.
I don't, yeah. And also, he's the narrator of the series. Like, all the voiceover we've had has been him.
It's always him.
It's always him. Yeah, I can't imagine.
So my question to you is, do you think everything, this fake Black Hood, Jughead either living or dying, even though he's going to live because I say.
Yeah.
All of that, the mayoral campaign, do you think we are going to see that all tied up at the end of this season?
I don't know. I think we're going to see the mayoral campaign.
I actually think we're going to see all three tied up.
We might.
because Riverdale is really good like that. But what's going to happen is it'll end on a cliffhanger that we're going to have to wait, I guess, until next year or at least later in the year. I don't know when the new season's scheduled to be released.
Yeah, and I want it to be, I want it to be that everything we've been dealing with this season is kind of wrapped up, and then we're going to get something new next season. Because that's what happened last time, that most of the things from the Jason and all that got wrapped up.
That's why I'm glad we know who the Black Hood is, because it means that everything else can be wrapped up this episode coming. Yeah.
Yes,
it and cleared then we the can way. See something really something sinister new. And that we have to then wait. That's going to be the hook.
Yes, and with last season, I was going to say last year, last season, it was, Jason Blossom and Mr. Blossom and all that got kind of tied up. And then the thing we were left to wonder is, like, what's going to happen when Hiram Lodge gets to town? And that's and now that's what's happening.
Right.
Because everything is kind of tied to that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to see what happens next year.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe it's only one more episode.
I know. And then are we going to go back to the beginning?
I think we should.
I think we should, too. Because
we could take a little hiatus.
We could take
figure out our recording.
A week off?
Stuff. Yeah.
Oh, my God. What am I going to do with my life? No Riverdale.
We can spend that time, like, we can still chat so we can figure out recording and stuff. But, like, to see if we can get the, when we're not together. We can get the quality being a little bit better.
Well, next week I'm in Canada, so it's going to be an international episode for me.
Yes.
So that'll again be, you know, obviously via conference call, which is how we've been doing it in the past. But like I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, we have been looking into other options about how to get our audio quality to a much more professional standard than what it has been. And I've got some options. So bear with us. But
and then it'll be fun to do a little recap.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't watched any of
they're going to be so young. They're going to be like babies. Yeah.
I watched Riverdale for the first time, which I think I said on one of the first episodes that we recorded. I watched this first season twice right after each other.
Yes.
Like I was like at home on vacation and I watched them just like one right after the other. Twice in a row. So it'll be, but I haven't watched it since. So it'll be fun to go back and watch it again.
Yeah.
It's like a whole year ago.
I know, my God.
Crazy. I guess we should wrap it up. Do you have a grade this episode?
I'm thinking an A-.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good. It was unfortunate that I couldn't watch it more than sort of a time and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Normally I give it much more focus, but it's been hard, like I said, because I'm traveling, I'm not staying at my own house, so I'm kind of you know, like, relying on other people not to be around so I can focus on it and stuff. But it was everything the episode prior to a finale should be.
I agree.
This is exactly what I love about Riverdale, is that they don't leave you hanging too long.
No,
they give you what you need in just the right amount of time, but then they bait you with something else. I'm thinking an A-. Lots of stuff, lots of exciting things to come. The finale is either going to be very calm and everything's going to kind of get back to normal and we're going to see some stuff get tied up, or it's going to be a shit show and just stuff is going to explode.
Yeah, I think this episode was so explosive. There was so much going on, so many storylines. There was just so many people and riots and all that stuff. I think the next one has to be a little bit calmer to really even it out. I think we're going to see...
Or do we go completely nuts and have...
I don't think so. Because
I hope not, because I feel like I need something a little slower for the finale.
I think we're going to see what happens with Jughead. I think we're going to see what happens with the...
Mayoral campaign.
And I definitely... Yeah, there's going to be... some sad hospital room scenes.
Oh, God.
One way or the other.
Jughead Jones, if you leave us...
I
mean, it's not even an option, so just it can't happen.
It can't happen. I agree. I give it an A- as well.
You do?
Yeah. I do. Because it was intense and wrapped up a storyline that I had been, like, in the way that I wanted it to as well. There's not anything else it could give me. And I also love... I just loved the little call, as heartbreaking as it is, where he calls Betty and he
saying goodbye.
Yeah, and when he says, "I'm happy to hear your voice," it's because he was so afraid for it to go to voicemail.
Yeah, that she wouldn't answer exactly. Yeah. And he doesn't even know about the Black Hood yet, or
no, anything. He doesn't know any of that.
Oh God.
Yeah,
what lies in store for our characters next week.
Ooh.
Wait and see. Well, we always like to sign off each episode asking ourselves, what would Betty do in a situation? What did she do in this episode? She dumped her father in and hit him with a shovel.
She hit her dad with a shovel because he's a serial killer.
If it turns out that your father, too, is a serial killer, you can hit him over the head with a shovel and dob him in.
Yeah, I think so.
Because that's what Betty would do. And that's what we would do in that situation if we were her, too.
I think so. I hope I'm brave enough, too.
Well, it's been a pleasure being in the same room with you again.
I know, it's fun.
Oh, my goodness. It's, oh, God.
It's meant to be.
It is meant to be. I know. Oh God. Well, I'll be back in New York in at the end of the year. I mean, granted, that's a little while away,
but still,
we'll still be going with Betty Squared. Hopefully, by then the new season's out. Hopefully, we don't have to wait till next year.
I don't think they've announced
when the next season's coming out.
It'll probably be in the fall. I would anticipate, but you won't have to wait that long because we'll be here.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll go back to where it all began.
Oh, yeah.
And there were little babies.
Mm-hmm. And
just little fetuses. Little
fetuses
of Riverdale.
Oh, my gosh. Riverdale babies.
Oh, goodness. Well, until next time, thanks for joining us on another episode of Betty Squared.
Bye.
Bye.